Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good, but I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Fairfield, and we are here to talk about things happening today in society and cover important topics such as the census, voting, COVID-19, and so much more. How are y'all doing today, ladies?
Good morning.
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Wednesday is definitely Wednesday. I definitely have to grab another cup of coffee before hopping on the show, but it's all good either way. So guys, we were chatting over email about our show today, and Alana, you brought up some great points. What have you been seeing with the DNC? You've been covering that all week.
Right. So for everyone who's tuning in, of course, we are talking about the DNC today. For people who don't know what that is, it's Democratic National Convention is happening 4 days this week, kicked off on Monday. But there's so many politicians from entertainers. Tracy Ellis Ross talked last night. Of course, Michelle Obama talked. And she had a powerful message, a message that really shook the core. She talked for 18 minutes. And all of those minutes meant something. All of those minutes were signified why we need a new leader, which she talked about having a new leader in office and to make change and ignite change. And what does that look like for society and look like for America? Michelle, I don't know if you noticed from Michelle Obama, but she was wearing a necklace that said vote. The necklace right now is $430. You can find them on Instagram. From the name of them is By Shar. The child was really excited that they were able to get this necklace for her. People were really excited about seeing this necklace and having the body behind her and little placements like that. But By Shar, so the Instagram name is B-Y-C-H-A-R-I. Her Instagram post when she saw the necklace was on Michelle Obama's neck that day. Michelle Obama is one of the most impactful women on the planet, not to mention a style icon. To say we're inspired by her dedication to helping others and lifting up women and minorities would be an understatement. We're so honored that she chose to wear our vote necklace of the 2020 Democratic National Convention. And just saying that everyone seeing a shop on Instagram just getting highlighted from her wearing her necklace said a lot, but also just she spoke about making changes and implementing changes. Where do we go from now? So why do you think her moment of truth is so necessary, especially right now at the DNC?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, watching her give the speech, reading about it later, she was really clear about it. There was no filter. She was really simple in her messaging. I think supporters from previous campaigns with the Obamas were looking for them to really speak out. And they were looking for someone just to be honest. And she's so well received in so many different areas. It almost doesn't matter whether or not you were a Democratic in previous elections or if you supported the Obamas. Everybody loves Michelle Obama because she speaks the truth all the time. And I think people were ready to see her and ready to hear it, and ready to hear someone speak the truth. She's Michelle Obama. Part of me is like, whatever she says is going to always be laced with grace and truth. And it's really a hater if someone doesn't hear it and go for it.
Yeah, that's completely true. Michelle Obama is iconic with whatever she does. She always exemplifies what a true leader is. And, you know, we don't have that in the White House right now. So to hear someone talk like that and speak power to what she's saying and speak authentic care for the society means a lot.
Mm-hmm. So tonight is night three of the Democratic National Convention. It's going to feature so many high-profile speakers. President Obama will be speaking, Hillary Clinton, Senator Elizabeth Warren, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, among others, Gabrielle Giffords as well. This is going to be a great night. We'll probably, most likely, also be hearing from Kamala Harris. And what do you guys think the main message has been throughout the DNC? People who haven't bought into Vice President Biden, I think, are getting on board. You know, he was voted in kind of last night in a really unique way. And just kind of watching everything and reading everything, I think one of the main messages is Vice President Biden, as, you know, a Democratic candidate for president, is a good guy. We can trust him. We can go with him. The Harris-Biden ticket, Biden-Harris ticket, rather, is a unique one and an important one. And you can go to the polls confidently, knowing that they can get the job done. What have you guys been sensing and seeing?
So what I've been seeing is that getting the message across to get out and vote, plain and simple. And how do we, where are we that we can do that? Michelle Obama brought up that there's going to be challenges, that there's going to be tactics in the sense of polling locations will be closed in minority neighborhoods, that there will be other tactics of the mailing. The mailing ballots will be another challenge for a lot of people. This is not new. I think the whole premise of the DNC was to inspire people, to inspire Americans to get out and vote, to make a change, to continue to vote, and to make sure that you are literally having the deadlines in front of you. So if you're out of state right now, if you don't know where your polling location is, trying to put everything in place before the deadline is, it's just the whole convention is to just spark, to inspire and motivate one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you all didn't know, Senator Kamala Harris from California, apologies, Jessica, she is poised to accept the party's nomination tonight. She is, if you didn't already know, the first Black woman candidate and first Asian American to appear on any major party ticket. And it's an exciting time for underrepresented people and also women.
She definitely is. So many people have talked and one person that really stuck out to me was Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She talked about having a guaranteed health care, higher education and labor rights, living wages, a better and just future for the country, in the world, and also looking for solutions when it comes to health care, massive evictions, unemployment. But a lot of people were surprised because she only talked for 60 seconds. A lot of people thought she would have granted more time to talk, especially because AOC is a person who's always at the forefront of change. Also, what was very interesting, too, was she, in her 60-second spiel right towards the end, she said, "I hereby second the nomination for Senator Sanders of Vermont for President of the United States of America," the New York Democratic Socialist said at the end. This is really interesting because not once within her spiel she mentioned really Biden. So people were kind of upset and kind of took it out of the left field of saying, why why is she doing this? But then she cleared it up in a tweet saying, you know, she explained that she was asked by convention organizers, especially in your nomination, to be cast a delegate threshold, wrote extensive congratulations to the women in November. She's on the platform right now on the DNC that she should advocate for Biden a little more within the speech. What are your thoughts when you heard him talk about this? Do you agree? Are you agreeing with people who took the social media to say that she should have really highlighted Biden a little bit more?
I think me personally, I think conversations like that, we know who our candidate president from the Democratic Party is. Sure, could she have spoken a little bit more about Vice President Biden? Absolutely. But as you said, this is, you know, Democratic National Convention is not a new thing. I think sometimes conversations like that take away from what the big picture of the moment is. They're used to stir up the pot, you know. And young delegates, especially on the Democratic side, are saying that they are going to nominate and they're going to push for AOC in 2024. So we also have to consider that while she's supporting the Democratic Party nomination, she's also probably trying to make a name for herself. And frankly, I'm not mad at it. But at the end of the day, we know what the DNC is about. We know who's on the ticket. We know who's poised, you know, to take over. And to change the White House and, you know, coming in November and then January. What do you think, Jessica?
I think that, honestly, I didn't get to hear that speech. I want to make that clear first. But sometimes you don't always get it right, though, when you're giving your speech on how you think, you know, the primary elections are going to go and who's running and all that. Sometimes you forget. People make mistakes. Also, like you said, everyone knows is on the ballot, so they know what Joe Biden's there, Kamala Harris, and all of them, you know. I think the most important part is to pay attention to what they're saying during this, during the Democratic National Convention. Like, I've heard a lot of those politicians talk about the purpose of the meeting. All races, all genders, everything. And that's what I'm really focused on is how much he can build our country back up from what President Trump has done.
That's a really good point. And I guess to go along with that, Jessica, people are also still talking about Andalana, kind of the dynamics between Kamala Harris and Vice President Biden and their, you know, I was reading an article this morning that says, you know, Kamala Harris was really tough on the vice president when they were running against each other in the primary. She's challenged a lot of his record, including around busing in the 70s, which is a lot about representation and minorities. But again, President Biden, he chose her for a reason. I pulled this out from a recent interview he did where he that it's really important to have someone like Kamala Harris on the ticket. She's got, and he pointed it out, intellectual capacity. She's got educational background. She's got backbone, which I think is really important in 2020. And she's got staff. It's going to change a lot. And just like we've been talking about, we have a lot at stake in the election. So regardless of who you're voting, you need to get out and vote and you need to kind of make your choice known and issues are?
We just, it's a lot on the line, especially when we're looking at these two candidates that are on the ballot. I know that a lot of people are putting out there saying, well, why would you pick her if they had this whole go back for when they have the debate? But that's what the debate is all about. I mean, at that point, Harris was running for president. Of course she wanted to win. Of course she was going to bring up the big guns and say X, Y, and Z. This is why your policy. She's going to find the hole. But you know what the beauty of this all is? Is that she knows where the holes are. And that's why we bring her in to fill those holes, to make it whole, so they can win for the ballot. I think it was a smart strategy for bringing him. And also, once again, to bring in an African-American woman, a woman of color, who understands us. And that's what goes back to Michelle Obama's point. You want a candidate who sees you, who is a reflection of the community. A lot of people also thought that Michelle Obama's speech, because she is a Black woman speaking at the DNC, not a lot of people are going to hear her out. A lot of people are going to shut it down and say, no, she's wrong. And that's what President Trump did. You know, he took to Twitter right away and said, this is not a quote, but just for bringing it up. But, you know, he said that, you know, blaming Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, saying it was his fault, that he's picking up the pieces, that this is why he's in the beautiful White House, because of your husband. So once again, and he's going back to Twitter and this whole back and forth. And just to see also the social media strategy. I don't know if you've noticed, but on Biden's social media platform, both of their platforms have been great throughout this process. But just since they've announced the amount of posts that is being put out on Twitter and Instagram, you can tell that they're on a that we're posting at this time, the graphics, the videos, they're posting more than, I think, more than twice a day. It really shows that they're there, they're presented, and they want to win this.
Completely, I agree. Also, to go back to Ashley's point, I was actually talking to a friend yesterday about Senator Kamala Harris, because I was just like, she's not like other candidates. I feel like she's a fighter. When she gets in the room, she makes her presence known, and she's not going to back down. She's going to stay up on her mind and make sure she backs up her facts. So I was like, she could be a tough candidate, and she would be a good lead for us as people of color, as women, because I dream about, you know, seeing a woman being president someday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we thought we were getting closer with Hillary Clinton, and even though that wasn't to be, it's like you can see it in the distance and go, this not only can this happen, but it's going to happen, and there's going to be a great candidate.
Yeah, a great candidate. But also, when we talked about Hillary Clinton, we were so happy because just a woman. But now we see Harris, a woman of color, another layer to everything. It says that she's a woman of color, that she's trying to be the best. We hope she will win, but also opening the doors for other little girls who are looking up to her right now to say, hey, I can also be a leader. I can also make changes in my community. And it's possible. It sucks that we are still waiting for the first to make history. We're always, it was 2020, and still the headlines are the first. And it makes my stomach turn, because why are we still having these conversations in 2020? We're all women of color on this phone call right now on the Zoom. When does that stop? When does that change actually be implemented?
Well, I think a lot of people, excuse me, actually, but I looked at a polling from Higher Heights, which is a political group that's promoting women running for different opposition and holding, you know, amazing conversations. Especially, you know, the fact that women of color or a Caucasian woman to be vice president. There was like a 28% rate on that, and at the bottom, and there was a lower percentage of like 14 to 18%. So a lot of people are really as being the vice president and leading. As far as I was thinking about when Hillary was running, I was kind of unsure of how. Like a career, she could be not based upon things on social media, but based upon her academic. I didn't really care the vibe of she could that leader in the office that gives a great representation of what
effectively leading. What does that look like? You know, so many other people also talked to during the DNC. A lot of other politicians, a lot of other former presidents, President Bill Clinton, he also talked. And, you know, he highlighted a lot about COVID and the reaction time of President Trump reacting to COVID. And he also, you know, he mentioned, what did he do? So in a quote, he said, how did Donald Trump respond? What did that look like? He also said, only when COVID exploded in more states did he encourage people to wear a mask. But by then, many more died. When asked about the surge in death, he shrugged and said, it is what it is. But did it have to be this way? No. I also think the play on words when Michelle Obama said her speech, it is what it is. This is just a statement President Trump has been saying over and over and over, or you've done a great job, or doing wonderful, it is what it is, which worries me because this is what he continues to say in every speech when we're trying to ask those hard questions to say, where are we as a society, where are we going, how are we dealing with COVID, what is your plan, and the responses have worried a lot of people, especially a lot of voters coming up. So why does he continue to make these responses, do you think?
Why does the president do anything that happens? you know, when I hear and read his responses like that, I can't help but think that he's concerned about the other party. I do think the president is challenged by attention that's not on him. I do think that he is challenged by voices that are big and that the American people not only like but listen to. I think it shows his concern that he's not just automatically going to move into a second term presidency. And oftentimes, I think we've seen with the president, he gets loud, he gets boisterous, and he tries to make the attention about something else. And in reality, I think sometimes that's just an indication that he's not prepared, that he's concerned about his presence and his level of popularity, and or he does not have a comeback. We say things like, President Trump did not prepare the American people for the pandemic. President Trump has not spoken out or acted or gotten, the Senate and the House to work together towards a reasonable solution. It just shows that he's concerned and ill-prepared, perhaps, for the role that he's in.
Yeah, and I would also say that Donald Trump is a child. He's not acting his age. He's not acting like an adult. He's not being the leader that we know he's supposed to be. He's not, knowledgeable about historical facts from leaders who have passed and left legacy. He doesn't care about the issues happening in communities. He's not trying to get out of his office and say, let me go and help my constituents and see what I can do, like, as far as that they're giving back to their communities. Is he doing that? Is he trying to say, let me have compassion for what everyone's going through? I have to take care of myself right now. But what about them? It's never about people. It's about him.
He makes a great point. And here, making the shift here, you said, Jessica, that it's, Trump is basically saying it's not about the people, it's about him. And we see that with the United States Postal Service and all of this kind of just panic that we're seeing with upcoming, not only with the Postal Service, but with mail-in ballots. I mean, he acknowledged, we've seen that mail-in ballots are going to be so important because of the pandemic. And here, he acknowledged recently in an interview that he's opposed to more funding for the USPS because it will make mail-in voting, if you don't fund the USPS, it's going to make mail-in ballot and voting difficult in November. And that's really obvious. He's concerned about the other party to the point where he would undercut and cut the legs out from the USPS, which is major. It's just such a major facet of American life in order to make sure that he has a leg up in the election. So just as you said, Jessica, it's not about the people. It's not about the health and wealth of the country. It's about President Trump and all that he needs and wants. Alana, what do you think about voting upcoming?
He definitely has stirred the pot. The fact to the magnitude of people are outside of the post office yelling and screaming, and there's speakers out there now. That just happened yesterday. So you're seeing a lot of people out in their communities saying this is not right. But then you have the other people, other guys saying, leave it alone, let it be. And that's what President Hansen is saying, what he said in his speech. You have to decide whether to renew his contract or hire someone else. You want a president to find a job of spending hours a day watching TV and zapping people on social media. He's your man. The dying, distracting, demeaning works great. If you're trying to entertain or inflame, but in a real crisis, it collapses like a house of cards. The fact that he said zapping, I thought that was such a creative word to use. Also, to know that this is a person who was in the White House, who understands what happens when there is a crisis and how to handle it and how he handled it in the past. And for him to say that he's not the man for us, for Michelle Obama also saying he's not the man for us, people need to hear them out. People need to actually listen. So voting coming up is going to be very interesting. Once again, there's going to be those tactics being implemented in every community that people do not to try to help, do not vote. It's going to be interesting, but I want everyone to, whether you're a Democrat, whether you're a Republican, please go out there and cast your vote. That was the problem in the years in the past, is that a lot of people said they couldn't decide. They didn't love the candidate, so let's not vote. But if you're not voting at all, it just gives the vote to the other party. Mm-hmm. So you need to really think about that and to know your deadlines, when your deadlines are coming up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's just about 29 minutes after the hour. And speaking of voting, we're just going to insert a quick paid political advertisement. If you didn't know already, the general election is on November 3rd of 2020. That's a Tuesday. Mark your calendars. It's coming up soon. Know who's on your ballot, including Judge Eric Morgay. So keep him in mind for judge in the general election on November 3rd of 2020.
Right. And also we have some very exciting news, too, with Texas Metro News. So if you go to www.texasmetronews.com, click on the Wells Fargo ad and you can get your own special iMessenger t-shirt or a business card ad for 3 months. Once again, go to www.texasmetronews.com and click the Wells Fargo ad to hopefully win an iMessenger t-shirt or a business card ad for 3 months. So don't miss out on that. We're doing a lot of innovative things on our end, so stay active in it all.
So not to belabor the point, but Alana, you brought up there's a celebrity who's been slamming President Trump on Twitter. I love her music. I love pop music. Taylor Swift. She's really just kind of been going after this kind of like no holds barred. In the midst of saying vote early, request your ballot, what has she been saying, Alana?
You know, a lot of statements, 100, just going back and forth, calculating dismantling of the USPS, a lot of things that are happening. She, just going back a little bit of how Taylor Swift is using her platform, She's not only an amazing singer, but she makes a lot of her money as a songwriter. She's been in this business for so many years because she's a songwriter. So for her to go on social media and to say, once again, President Trump is not doing what he needs to do, I guess in the sense of zapping him back to see all these celebrities. And she's not only the only celebrity who's done this. Chrissy Teigen also is another person who's done this in the past. She's openly talked about how President Trump actually tweeted her back. And she literally, all of the notifications that came to her phone that day was just over too much. He had tweeted her back saying, I don't know, he threw shots of saying about John Legend and what he sings. I think it's just kind of cool in the sense of that these celebrities are stepping up and using these platforms not only to brand themselves, not only to, I guess, advertise and to sell as products, but to really use their platform for good and to say, you know, this isn't right. This is not going well. And what can we do? So all of this going back and forth, it's going to help in the long run. But for Taylor Swift, she's such an icon of who she is. And, you know, to say, for instance, the quote was, Trump's calculated dismantling of USCIS proves one thing clearly. He's well aware that we do not want him as our president. He's choosing to blatantly cheat and put millions of Americans' lives at risk in an effort to hold on to power. That right there, holding on to power, and that goes back to what Michelle Obama said. You know, a lot of people think when you get into this White House, it will change who you are, but it's not changing who you are. We're just seeing you clearly now. And to hold on to power. So my question for you guys is, when do you know when to let go of power? When do you say goodbye?
Well, I would say when I let go of power. I've actually held a position, like, on my campus in a political role, and I feel like it's important to pass the torch. You can only stay for so long, and when you're put into a position that you're leading your organization, you're leading the girls or whoever else is in the group, you need to make sure that you're carrying out the plans you thought about and that could improve the civic engagement within your community. That's what I was working on, and getting students to vote, which I did. And after I got all that done, I was like, it's time for me to move on. Like, milk can finish off what I started and enhance what I've done. You never want to be that person that thinks you always have it and that you can do better than the next person that wants to come behind you. You can't think like that, because then you're missing out on a bigger purpose for yourself.
Yeah, Jessica, you made such a great point about civic engagement. Alana, when you were talking earlier, it may be surprising to me that we don't hold the president to the same standards that we're holding leaders of Fortune 500 companies and other kind of major leaders and major figures. I think when you cease to have the people that you're supposed to be leading clearly supporting you, when you see kind of the metrics, you're always supposed to be evaluating yourself. Like, how well am I doing in this role or this position? If you're a leader of an organization or a company, what am I doing for the engagement of the people that I'm leading? Am I bringing positivity to the table? Are we seeing real results? Or are we backtracking? And when you know that you, one, don't have the support of the people that are supposed to be backing you, when you can't clearly say, and you know, for all, you know, the president does, yes, there's been a way forward in the administration, but I would argue that it hasn't fully been because of the president. There are things that were in place before the administration changed 4 years ago, just like there always is. And then we can't just say that the Republican Party is inherently evil, right? There are people in there that are working for the good of the constituents of the country. But to me, one of the clearest things is when you prompt division and not unification for a country, that's when you know that you should probably be stepping back. I don't know. I think we're going to be hard-pressed when we look in the history books in decades to come and say and be really clear on what President Donald Trump did for the good of the country. And I personally wish that he was more likable. I wish that he wasn't, this is my opinion here, such a jerk. But yeah, that's just my opinion.
I also think that letting go of power is to also look at what America is right now and what that looks like. Is my services best right now for the American people? Am I delivering what they need? Am I making, like you said, so look at what you've implemented. Look at those numbers. If more people are in unemployment right now, I mean, who are looking for benefits and not being able to survive to pay the rent right now. And I know that we are in COVID, so this right now is different from the year in the past. People who are losing their jobs daily, people who are losing their homes, who have gone homeless now. Since we're in COVID, how do you implement that change to say, how do we get out of it? How do we make today the numbers look a little bit better? Even though the numbers are high, but let's just kind of flatten that curve, make it better. And for President Trump, I think he's having a hard time trying to see it and understand that. So once again, it will be interesting on what the voting will entail coming up. But we have to be mindful of the deadlines. We have to be mindful of these deadlines are approaching. So just to say, I mean, last day to register to vote for the presidential election is Monday, October 5th. And to start early voting presidential election is from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And that starts on October 13th, Tuesday. I know that we're only in August right now, and we're talking about October. I'm telling you, August is wrapping up. September kind of goes by, and it's going to be October. And you don't want to be the one to say, oh, how do I go about doing this again? Am I registered? I'm on vacation right now. I don't know why you're on vacation, but trying to send in your ballot and all of it, just get it done, you know? Sit down and allot time on a weekend or a day that you know that your work is kind of, you know, not a lot, or, you know, spending time at night to say, let me look at this and let me actually try today. And how does this voting process work?
Mm-hmm. Such a great point. And if you're already registered to vote and you've got a plan, consider this. Make sure you've filled out your census. We mention this every week, but that's because it's important. When we're talking about the changes that we're expecting the president to make, it's hard to trust our governmental leaders to make the changes that we need if they can't count us and they don't know we exist. One of the reasons why the census is so important, it only comes around every 10 years. There are 42 days left to fill out your census forms. If you haven't already been visited by a census taker, which is someone that's coming to your home physically, you can go to census.gov and fill it out. And you're saying, why is the deadline moved up? Well, there is a federal deadline for presenting all of the data to the president, and a local or lawmaker said that the deadline being in August or October, it was originally in April, was not going to be enough time, so they've moved up 30 days. But what is this impact? If we're not counted, we don't get money for school. If we're not counted, we get money for federal programs, for education, for housing, for food, that are all the more important in a time that we're in. So if you're registered to vote, make sure you filled out the census. If you filled out the census, make sure your family and your friends, your coworkers have also done the same thing. When we're talking about what can I do to make sure that the country moves into the right direction, we have to do our part, in my opinion, as citizens of the country, and do this to register, to do things like the census, and to make sure our voices are heard. That's the little thing that we can do.
And those small things make all of the difference. Census is really to shape how federal tax dollars are being shared through the U.S. It's also to look at just the school systems, everything that's surrounding you. If you want changes, this is how you go about it, is filling out the census. And also not forgetting to file people who, everyone who is in the household. Don't leave anyone out. That will make all of the difference. I know that you mentioned that, you know, we have so many days to the census, but also for our election, just to remind everyone, the election is happening November 3rd, and that's 76 days out. I have 76 days so far, you know, 76 days, but not. And once again, so stay updated with your census, stay updated on the election, and keep informed of what's going on around you.
Mm-hmm. Just a quick note here, 42 minutes after the hour, this is another paid political advertisement. Just as you said, Alana, the general election is on November 3rd, 2020. Cast your vote. Remember that Judge Monica Purdy is on the ballot. Cast your vote for Judge Monica Purdy.
And also, if you go to www.texasmetronews.com and www.garlandjournal.com or www.iimessenger.com, you can win $300 in toll credits or $250 cash. Just take a short survey for your chance to win. You don't want to miss out on these great opportunities. So log into those three websites that I had mentioned.
Well, great. Well, moving on to some lighter news, or maybe just another hot topic.
Actually, you're on mute right now.
I do that all the time. I feel like you do that once a week.
I
was saying I'm still on mute. I'm back. Am I back? I'm back. I was just going to throw this out there, moving on to just a little bit of a lighter topic or not. One of our favorite TV hosts is a little bit of hot water, or maybe a lot of hot water. Ellen DeGeneres, there's been a lot of news about her show this summer. She's maybe not as nice as she appears. What do you guys think about that?
I was just gonna say sometimes reality show hosts can obviously portray one side when they're in front of the screen, but sometimes they may switch up. And so Ellen has had months where she may have come off offensive. I don't know if this is deliberate or she just doesn't see her actions as being wrong, or she doesn't think about consequences it may have on her viewers and everyone else watching, because they see her as a sweet, loving, giving, compassionate human being. Mm-hmm. So I think that she really needs to take the time out to reevaluate maybe her approaches to things.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, everybody's looking at her in a different limelight. And how does that look like us, and where does that go? Ellen is that person that we all love to go tune into her show, be fun, have her intimate, and to hear that she has a toxic workplace, that kind of just came out of nowhere, and people were kind of shocked. Recently, she actually apologized to her staff in a conference video where she talked about that she's not perfect. She wasn't perfect. She talked about how I'm a multi-layered person, and I try to be the best person I can be, and I tried to learn from my mistakes. And then she wrote said, I'm hearing that some people felt that I wasn't kind or too short with them or too impatient. I apologize to anybody if I've hurt your feelings in any way. So I like the fact that she's owning up to it, but I also understand where she's coming from. It must be so difficult to run a show. Just try to be in her shoes in the sense of that her face is everywhere. It's her name. She needs the show to run this way. And some people might think it's, I'm not there, so I don't know what the incidents really looked like, but some people might think what is toxic, that just might be how she is. She might not be the person to say, oh, hi, how are you? She might be, I need this done, and not have a conversation, you know, trying to get tasks done. But once again, I can't speak on the incident, but just trying to figure out how this toxic workplace kind of came about is interesting.
Yeah, and I think we've heard by now that some of the top producers of the show are out, and I think the assumption is that they are part of the problem. I think that's an interesting point that you make, Alana, that sometimes the person at the top, it might just be how they are, but I also think leaders have to be cognizant of who's at their table, and the producers were known for some really just not treating people well and some sex statements at times and just charged a really charged culture. So I think it's probably a lesson to all. It's who you have in your circle and your corner is really important. I'm hoping that the show is going to, that what is happening behind the scenes is they're trying to make things right, that it doesn't get in the way of having a really great upcoming season. I know entertainment is a really challenging business, and we all love Ellen. I think there's probably some truth to some of what's being said, but just as the people that are, you know, are in her corner that are supporting her really fully, I think that you have to look at all the pieces and just make sure that there's, you know, you're addressing, if there's an issue, that you're addressing it just like everybody else. It's just like what she said, she's a regular person.
She's a regular person, and also taking accountability. When you mentioned about the producers, they're out. When she means out, fired. Ellen fired three top producers from this workplace. And like you said, you know, it's not only her. There's a team of people who are in her ear daily to say, this is how it should run. This is what the framework of the show should be. But also, celebrities, too, are at her defense. I mean, Katy Perry, Ashton Kutcher, they're supporting her through this. You know, this is a host. Ellen's name has been branded across the world to say, you know, she's this fun, outgoing, but also sometimes makes you sad. You know, the content that she puts out there to make you really feel, yet you're connected to a lot of the people that she brings onto the show. It's once again, it's a he said, she said kind of situation, and we're not in the situation. We're just kind of like outside the window trying to see in what's going on. So I only can talk about how much, but I love that she is taking that accountability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and speaking of leaders, I'm going to do another pivot just because I love the representation. We've heard, I'm also from Washington area, where the Washington football team, which does not have an official name yet, has a new president. He's 38-year-old Jason Wright. He's a former football player. He's only 38. He's the first Black president of Washington's football team, and he's looking to make a change, not only with a new name after 87 years, that they were the former Washington Redskins, that he has kind of a lot of ahead of him, and I wanted to get your guys' thoughts. I mean, inheriting a team from Dan Snyder, who is just notoriously just been a whole lot of everything. He comes in as there is sexual harassment allegations. They're finally changing the name after 87 years. They're trying to regain kind of the trust of all their fans. And we know here in Dallas, Texas, the Cowboys are huge. They are just a huge part of Dallas and Texas culture. What do you guys think about having a 38-year-old Black president of a national football team?
Great. It's good to see. I want to see people of color, not you know, African American too, but, you know, with all people of color leading in that capacity, like, how many times have you actually seen it? I haven't seen it. I've seen African American women lead in a vice president role or, you know, on a corporation board, but never at that role. And, you know, just because someone's older doesn't mean they still don't move fast, mm-hmm. and doesn't mean that they don't have the ability to lead a business like that. He probably has so many different ideas running through his mind and so many things he sees happening in the future for the team that, you know, I'm just ready to see what he brings to the table.
Mm-hmm. It's exciting. It's a time that, once again, should have came a long time before, but at least it's happening now, I guess. It's been a topic that we've been having in the sports industry of why is there so many coaches who look this way? And why is there so many people who are on the administration staff look this way? But our players are majority of Black, majority of color. So why aren't we having that representation across each end, right? So Jason Wright, he is a former player that played on Atlanta Falcons, San Francisco 49ers as a running back. In his interview with First Take, he said, there's so many players that are Black. To be able to see leadership on the player side of the ball, and the football side of the ball, but also the business side of the ball that looks like you and has a similar background and set of experiences. So when you have someone in those decision-making roles who really reflects what the team is all about, makes a difference in the long run, to really understand change and understand what the team needs. Also, the Washington football team, as you mentioned, about how we changed their name from the Redskins, which has a lot of, it's been a very conversational topic, especially because of the background of it being racist. But now, I mean, just all together, Washington team to show the representation and diversity of having a Latino head coach, a Black senior VP of player development, and a Black female who runs social media, Anastasia Williams. There's so many diverse employees there, and I just hope that the Cowboys and other NFL teams along those lines will model what the Washington team is doing right now and to implement those changes right away before the season starts.
Such a good point. And as you said, they're qualified. It's not like with everything going on that there was a sudden shift and go, well, suddenly we've got to get Black and brown faces in there. They brought people who were already invested, who already had kind of the qualifications. Jason Wright brings, you know, 7 years of consulting experience and an MBA to the table in addition to his player background, which is not just unique, but it's necessary. So I'm excited to see what happens this year, this season, even though there probably won't be any fans in many, if any, of the stadiums. I'll still be rooting and hoping the Redskins have a much better record than they have in years past.
Exactly. But we will definitely have to see. We'll definitely have to see just how the sports landscape is going to work. And I know for the college football, they've canceled a lot of their tournaments, their seasons. Actually, a lot of football teams college-wide actually said, you know, we're not going to be in it at all. So UConn made that decision and stepped up and said, this is not healthy for our players, and they understand that. We have other athletes who are literally picking up where they are right now and moving to a different state so they can be able to play. It's a really hard decision because you have players who want to play college ball or they're playing college ball right now. What are they going to do? They want to play the NFL. And this is their dream. So when you're sitting out here, how does that affect you long term? So there's a lot of pressure on these players. I also think that they do have to think about COVID. COVID is real. COVID is happening right now. But you also have to understand from the player's perspective, this is the only thing they know. This is what they want to do. This is what they love. This is their passion. And you're telling me that I can't play? Well, I'm going to do everything in my power to play. So it's an ongoing conversation, everyone's perspective on this.
Exactly. I've seen on social media a lot of NFL players, talk about as far as keeping their family safe and not feeling like, they're not going to play. They're going to be able to play. It's just that they're going to make sure that, when they step on that field, they're protected and nothing's going to happen to them because, a lot of them have families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you make such a great point. We can't forget that the sports figures that we're watching, players, even the leaders that we're watching across industries, that they're people too. And they're important and they're going to keep their family safe and, make an income and kind of do what they've been called to do.
Oh, yes. I don't know if they've done.
But we're just about a few minutes before the top of the hour. Just please, want to get your final thoughts, hot topics of the day or anything in general.
Yes. I would just like to say that everyone, if you did hear it at first, go to TexasMetroNews.com, click on Wells Fargo ad, and you could win your own special iMessenger t-shirt or a business card ad for 3 months.
Yeah, these are advantages that you really need to take advantage of. So when you go to Texas Metro News or GarlandJournal.com or iMessenger.com, there's so many things that are being given away right now. So you want to take it upon you to stay active on our website of new content, but also what we're rolling out right now for free giveaways at this moment.
Yeah, Texas Metro News, we're doing, and all Texas Metro News, like you said, iMessenger Media, Garland Journal, we're doing some amazing things on multimedia platforms. You can catch us on online, you can catch us on Facebook every day. Alana, you've got a show tomorrow at 11, no?
Yes, I have a show at 11. I sit down with Norma Adams Wade, who's a seasoned professional in the Dallas area. And we literally bring in a new guest every week where we talk about change and implementing change and really to inspire you and motivate you on to the next level. So it will be a great discussion where you will feel a change, feel you want to change. So tune in at 11 a.m. Norma and I will be sitting down with an exciting guest. And also I have a show Friday where I'll be discussing hot topics from the entertainment, and you will be hearing from experts on how to get back on track when it comes to COVID and eating.
And before we go,
well, ladies, I know you have to go. You can go, Ashley. It's okay.
Well, Jessica was already.
You can go, Ashley.
Jessica was already doing it for us. We're going to get ready to head on out of here. If you guys have suggestions for show topics, remember you can join us every week live in our comment section on Facebook. Make sure you subscribe, share, like all of our content. We are here bringing the news not just in North Texas, but all across the country and around the world too. News that's relevant and helpful for you. So we'll see you next week, same time, same place, 11 a.m. Central Time. And that's a nod to our pusher in the back, Cheryl Smith. We'll see you next week.
Okay, we're going to keep going.
Okay. All right.
Hey, ladies, sign off.
They don't have to keep going.
So just so y'all may know, we have two judges running in November election, and I just want to let y'all know their names again. It's Judge Eric Moyet. He's running in the general election, and we also have Judge Monica Purdy. And also,
I'm making her nervous, you all. Don't pay
attention.
The script is right there in front of us, but for some reason,
okay,
she can't read it. So guess what? This is the script right here. Why don't you come over here and read this for her? Because it says 1, 2, 3, 4. So why don't you move over and let Marvel read it first? Yeah.
Hello, everyone. This is Marvin Sneed. Welcome, and I'm so glad to see you guys here today. You see that I have my mask on, let me just give you a quick update on our upcoming election, which is the general election is November the 3rd. And if you want to know anything about what's going on, you can go to www.texasnews.com, garlandjournal.com, or iMessenger, which is myiMessenger.com. All right, now, Judge Eric Moyse is running for judge. So we want you to paid political advertisement for this member of the general election, which is November the 3rd. Don't forget to cast your vote for Judge Eric Moyse. Also, you can also cast your vote for Monica Purdy. She is also running for judge. Cast your vote for Judge Monica Purdy. Election day is November the 3rd, 2020. Go to TexasMetroNews.com and click on the Wells Fargo ad, and you could win your own special iMessenger t-shirt or a business card ad for 3 months. So if you guys have a business, you want to do that, go to www.TexasMetroNews.com, click on the Wells Fargo ad, and you could win your own special iMessenger t-shirt or a business card ad for 3 months. Log on TexasMetroNews.com, GarlandJournal.com, or MyiMessenger.com, and you could win $300 in toll credits or $250 in cash. Just take a short survey for your chance to win. And that is on our website, www.TexasMetroNews.com, www.GarlandJournal.com, iMessenger.com. Sorry, tongue got tied. So you could win $300 in toll credits or $250 in cash. Just take a short survey for your chance to win. So, Jessica, can you tell us what's going on?
Yeah, okay. So, today we have been talking about COVID-19. We have been discussing Ellen DeGeneres Show, and we have been discussing NFL's change, the Washington NFL team's name change, and the new elected position that a black man has received. Also, we have been talking about census. If you have not filled it out, then please do so. We've been talking about elections. We have been talking about the Democratic National Convention, which has been taking place for several days. And we have been talking about the insight of what election day will look like and the voting by mail ballot. And with all that being said, we are the Millennial Show.
Slid down the slide there.
Metro News. Dan's
a great journalist. He's also a gentleman. He'd like to tell that story
and
just about every day. I'm looking forward to hearing your lecture today, Dan. He's going to lecture and we're going to do a case study.
Jessica,
I think it'll be really engaging and interesting. Dan, thanks again for joining.
Thanks for inviting. It's great to see everybody here. Briefly, I'll just tell you that story does stand out. It never gets old. And it's told exactly the same way, which is great because the stories from the past oftentimes they get embellished. And this is one of those stories that can get really creepy the very past year. But Tim has stayed with the facts as a great journalist does and has told that story oftentimes. So no worries at all. Just quickly, my best travel experience as a journalist was going to Myanmar, which is President Obama. It was the first country that had been closed for so long. Just going there was interesting. They let all kids out from school to line the